through 32. A message entitled Abandoned by God. I preached on this before, but I'm not saying I love all the judgment in it, but I'm saying that it gives us a clear picture of why this world is in the shape it's in. And because I'm a Romans 1 guy. And for those that have rejected the revelation of God in creation and conscience, and later go on to reject the Christ light and then the word of God, their condition is not going to get no better. So we see God's condemnation and a rebellious humanity is nothing more than the natural consequences of suppressing God's truth. They suppress the truth for the lie we'll talk about tonight, rejecting God's revelation. As a result, they pervert God's glory, and they live the kind of lifestyles that they can live, and there's no conviction about it whatsoever. I put this in the Facebook page. I shared this with you a couple weeks ago, and it's about what the Bible says about God's wrath. And some lady named Susan, somebody, I can't remember her name, made a comment, and what she said was true, but it had nothing to do with what I was posting, you know, and talking about the end times began at Christ's first coming until his second coming, and what's going to happen. But I wanted to ask her, my flesh said, ask her, what does it have to do with what I posted, you know, but I didn't. So I've learned you cannot fight. I don't think she was being argumentative, but what she said was true, but it's just, it's not what I was dealing with. Various kinds of wrath. There's eternal wrath, which is hell. Eschatological wrath, which is the day of the Lord or the tribulation period. Cataclysmic wrath, like the flood in Genesis 6, and things that are happening today, and destruction of the present heavens and earth, when that happens, when God does that, that's going to be classified a cataclysmic wrath. Consequential wrath, these are theologian words, okay, that I've gotten over the years. Consequential wrath is like sowing and reaping. You reap what you sow. And God does chasten his children as we go through this life, but it's not to damn us to hell, but it's to correct us that we may have the fruits of righteousness and that we may have a greater reward when we stand before him at the judgment seat of Christ. And then the one we're looking at tonight is called abandonment wrath. It's removing the restraint of sin and letting the sinner be as bad as he can be, okay? The sin becomes their judgment, okay? And this is what we see in Romans 1, 18 through 32. So let's begin in verse 24. In fact, before I read it, I want you to tell you that three times, verse 24, verse 26, and verse 28, talks about God turned them over. And it's often called abandonment. It's mentioned twice. It means that God delivered them over to their sin, okay, because they rejected his revelation. Twice God gave them up, and once God gave them over. It means the same thing. God allowed sin to run its course in their life as an act of divine judgment. And so what you're seeing in the world today in America is God's divine judgment on because they rejected the revelation of God and it's running its course. He delivered them over to their sin. So what does that mean to abandon, to deliver them over? It means that God removes the restraint against sin in their life and allows the sinners to reap the just fruits of their rebellion. Okay? That's what's going to happen at the rapture. The restrainer is going to be taken out. The Holy Spirit in the church will be taken out, and there'll be nothing here to restrain man's evil because the Holy Spirit's taken out with us, except people need the Holy Spirit to get saved, right? And so the Holy Spirit is a restrainer. Okay? We got man-made restrainers, but they don't even go by that no more. But the spiritual restrainer is the restraining power of the Holy Spirit. And we are to, because we have the Holy Spirit living within us, we are to be salt and light, speak these things, trying to restrain evil. So what we're going to see tonight is three areas of abandonment. In verse 24 and 25, they've been abandoned to fornication. Verse 26 and 27, they've been abandoned to sexual perversion. And in verse 28 and 32, been abandoned to a depraved lifestyle. Let's look at the first one, abandoned to fornication, in verse 24 and 25. The Bible says, because they knew, go back to 21, because they knew not God, they were not thankful. We preached on that last week. Vain in their imaginations, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God in an image made like a corruptible man to birds. In other words, they make God in their image rather than God, allowing God to make them in his image. But verse 24 and 25, wherefore, because of all of that, all of their rejection, all of the corrupt lifestyle, it says, wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. And we know what that's talking about, right? Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Let's break this down here. They've been abandoned to fornication. Now, we talked about this some. There are people that believe that the Bible never speaks of homosexuality or lesbianism. There are people that believe that Jonathan and David were homosexual. There are people that believe that God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah not because of the sin of sodomy, but because they were inhospitable to the visitors at the door, you know. And what was the other one, Virgil, that they try to make? Another one is that giving up the natural for the unnatural. They say, for us heterosexuals, being a heterosexual is natural for us, but somebody who is a homosexual, it would be natural for them to have a same-sex marriage. I mean, it's crazy, ain't it? And write these down in the leaf of your Bible. You need to know these. The Bible is plain. And about the sin of homosexuality. Genesis 19, 1 through 10. God's destroyed because of their sodomy. In fact, you know, that's one thing that's hurt us, is man has taken off the law of the books, the sin of sodomy. That's what it was called. But they've changed it. Because why? You were created that way. It's no longer a sin. You know, it's your sexual orientation, right? Genesis 19, 1 through 10. Leviticus 18, 22. You need to write those down in the leaf of your Bible. You may already have them because I mentioned these to you before. Leviticus, right? Chapter 18, verse 22. And also Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13. If y'all write these down. And Paul in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10 talks about this same thing. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10. And also in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 through 10. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 through 10. And in Jude 7, they went after, these fallen angels went after strange flesh. So a same-sex marriage or thing is a strange flesh relationship, right? So those are strong scriptures on biblical marriage. Plus, we take the words of the Lord in Genesis 2:21. He created male and female, right? And in Matthew 19:4-6, he repeats the same thing. He created male and female. And I am happy that some of the things that are happening with transgenderism and DEI in our nation since Trump got elected, but unless Congress, we do all know that Congress is useless, right? They don't pass any laws. It's where they're trying to depend upon executive orders now. But unless they codify some of these changes, then the next president, if he's not a Republican, will reverse everything that Trump has done. Okay? It has to come into law of the land. Now, notice verse 26. For this cause God gave them up, if you will, unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use unto that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their own lust one toward another. This is none other than homosexuality, right? And he says in verse 26, did change the natural use, did change the natural use into that which is against nature. In verse 27, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their own lust one toward another with men, working in that which is unseemly. And now listen to this, and receiving in themselves the recompense of the error which was meet. How can you say AIDS, right? So as we look at this here, we see that God gave them over to shameful lust. Literally it means, shameful lust, literally means passions of disgrace. You know, we can be passionate about a lot of things in the positive side, for God's word and for Jesus and the church and things like that, passionate in prayer. But there's also a negative. And that's where the problem comes in, at when mankind gets passionate about sin. And this is what's happening. This involved, as the text state, both sexes exchanging in homosexual instead of heterosexual relationships within marriage. Now, don't get me wrong. You know, two heterosexuals, we're adults here, right? If they commit adultery, they've sinned, right? So heterosexuals do commit sexual sin as well, right? In marriage. Women deliberately exchanging the natural relations with men in their marriage for natural ones with other men. Now, I don't know how the homosexual community can just take verse 26 and 27 and read anything into it that it doesn't say and what they think it says. That it's natural for them to be with another woman and it's natural for them for a man to be with another man. That is hogwash, you know. I heard John Primit use that word. So coming over here for 13 years, he's finally learned some of our lingo. And it's hogwash, right? In verse 27, men were inflamed with lust, sexual lust, used only here in the New Testament, and differing from the more common word for lust in verse 26. You know, it's crazy because, you know, like men who are wrong to go to bars and try to pick up a woman, that's wrong, but the homosexual community goes to a gay bar so they can pick up another man, right? I mean, it's crazy. I mean, I'm an expert on this because my brother is one, right? So I know what they do, and I won't go no deeper with that. But the words translated women and men in these verses are the sexual words females and males. Contemporary homosexuals insist that these verses mean that it is perverse for a heterosexual male or female to engage in homosexual relations. But it is not perverse for a homosexual male or female to do the same, since that's their natural use. By the way, don't ever interpret, don't ever exegete scriptures like these people do. You know, it's crazy. And as I said, this is stranded exegesis. Exegesis is pulling out of the text what it says. Eisegesis is reading into it your own, what you want it to say. The only natural relationship, sexual relationship in the Bible recognizes is a one man, one woman for a lifetime, a heterosexual relationship within marriage. So all homosexual relations constitute sexual perversion and are subject to God's judgment. And that's why God said, okay, you want to do this? America, you want to make it okay for gay marriage? Or I hate the word gay. But you want to make it okay for same-sex marriage? Then here's the consequences of that. What do we got now? Drag queen shows, right? And all that kind of stuff. Such lustful and indecent acts have within them the seeds of punishment, the due penalty. They want to live like that, and they don't repent. It's possible for a practicing homosexual to get saved, but they got to repent and believe. And this is where some of the churches, the liberal churches, and I can call their names, you know who they are, they say, okay, you're welcome into our church. They give them positions in the church, and they even perform their weddings in the church, and they even ordained some of them to be pastors. in the liberal churches. Okay? And that church is also under the judgment of God. You know? And by the way, the Bible says, it may say it here in the text before we get through tonight, but it says, those that approve of these things are just as guilty as those that do them. Right? So, all homosexual relations constitute sexual perversion and are judgment, part of God's judgment. These lustful, indecent acts have within them the seed of punishment, the due penalty. What do we do? Remember when AIDS was prevalent in Africa, when it's prevalent in the United States, what did America try to do? Well, there's one preacher, I can't remember his name, but he's no preacher in my book. He believed he's going to go over to Africa and cure Africa of AIDS. See, they treat the symptoms rather than the sin, right? And that's called the social gospel. You're going to cure the ills of the society without repentance and faith. Now, I believe there have been 5 court rulings in America that have condemned us. Separation of church and state. That's never mentioned in the Constitution. They pervert the Constitution. Roe versus Wade, and I know it's been overturned, but now it's gone to the states, and most of them blue states. So you can kill a baby anytime in the pregnancy. Same-sex marriage. That condemned us. Partial birth abortion. You can even kill the baby after it's out of the mother's womb. God help us. Creation versus evolution. Remember, years ago, what is it called? The Scoops trials or the Snoops trials or whatever? Who? Scope. Yeah, that's good. The Scopes trials. Folks, when you took creation out of the school, the teaching of creation, you just brought some judgment of God upon us, right? Now, I know there's teachers that teach both, and I'm proud of them. I stand with them, but it's sad to say, if you're in the wrong school system, you're not going to have a job long when one little kid goes home and squeals to mommy, and then that's it, you know. The Christians don't respond to these kind of sins like, and I've heard Christians say this, I'm not their judge. Well, I'm sorry, we're salt and light. We're supposed to call sin, sin. And by the way, I was just telling somebody today about Matthew 7. Judge not, lest you be judged. They pervert that verse. There's 2 words they forget to expound on that verse in Matthew 7:1. The word until, or in the word then. In other words, examine your own life, and then you can call someone to repentance. And the other word is then. Then you've done that, and that gives you the permission to be salt and light. And I don't know how many times I've talked to people, and even Christians that sit in church every week, and I mentioned this to them, and they said, well, you're not the judge. No, I'm not judging. I'm just telling them what the Word of God says. Amen? Well, we need to understand that. So we don't respond by, I'm not their judge. That's not biblical. God made them that way. That's even worse, right? There's people sitting in the pews in our churches tonight over America and the world that believe that God actually made them that way. And no, not my God, right? They chose to sin. Or we've heard this, live and let live. I don't care what they do as long as they don't involve me. That's why the church is in the shape it's in, right? Or remember this one, to each his own, you know? And you see how Hollywood, Virgil, you mentioned that this morning, how Hollywood praises all these kind of perverted lifestyles and gives them awards for it, you know? And so there's abandonment to fornication. Now, secondly, verse 26 and 27, we might have got ahead of ourselves. There's abandonment to, no, we didn't, abandonment to sexual perversion, and then there's abandonment to depraved lifestyle. So what we see is you look at your news and you read in your paper, what you're seeing is people that have been turned over and the restraint of the Holy Spirit has been lifted in their life and their lifestyle becomes their judgment. Are y'all following along with me? And that's what happens. But thirdly, they've been abandoned to a depraved lifestyle in 28 through 32. Notice 28, if you will. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Remember that earlier verses? They knew God, but they didn't. They rejected the knowledge of God and went on their way and became their own determining factor in that. God gave them over to reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Or, in other words, those things that make no sense. Folks, our nation, we've got a good president now, but I'm telling you, I mean, we're not on live stream. I don't care anyway. But we got one political party that is reprobate, right? I remember in 2008 when Obama was going to be president, and the Democratic platform read like Romans. In fact, John MacArthur, and I respect John MacArthur, he said that the Democratic platform looked like Romans 8, 18 through 32, right? And never been much true. He's 85. He hadn't been in the pulpit for a while because he's had heart trouble and lung trouble, but he's supposed to preach this week at their Shepherd's Conference. So that is true. I mean, I'm telling you like it is. Y'all know better. Y'all know as well as I do. I'm just telling you the truth. They've been turned over. Verse 28, pagan humanity's rebellion also included the rejection of the knowledge or the full knowledge of God. In a sense, they put God out of their minds, you know. And by the way, the first cabinet meeting by Trump was led out by prayer. And that, the guy, the black minister, actually mentioned Jesus and things like that. But that's no good unless it's in their heart, right? Unless it's in their heart. So God's responding judgment was abandonment to a reprobate or depraved or a disapproved or worthless life. You know, they can't make right decisions because they're incapable because they've been turned over, right? And their attitudes and actions are unfitting and improper, what is not convenient. Verse 29 and 31, look at that. And being filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, or whatever, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Verse 31, without understanding, covet breakers, without nature, affection, and implacable, unmerciful. If I mispronounce any of those words, they're even worse than what I said. Okay? All right. So we see that God filled their lives with that which they rejected, God, and filled their lives with 21 sins are mentioned here of those abandoned to their own sinful desires because they suppressed God's truth, rejecting God's revelation, and perverted God's glory. And then in verse 32, we see it. Who knowing the judgment of God. Now that's amazing. Not only did they know God, but they know that God judges. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they, talking about these people turned over, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only to do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. A while back when we had a problem with the library, with books, children's books in the library, somebody showed me, well, in fact, it was Jimmy Clanton that showed me some of the materials that was in the book. And I went down there, and y'all remember when I spoke, they give you 3 minutes. And I closed by this verse right here. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them to do them. And guess what? One of the gay activists on his website the next day accused me as a dog whistle to Christians to go kill them. That's perverted, right? Because they don't even know what the scripture says, right? Got to take care of them. I ain't going to do it, right? So they know these things. They know they deserve death. And going down the road of this, they still defy God and encourage others to do the same as well, right? And they want our children. They want your grandchildren. They're in positions and authority. Especially up north, they go in schools and they're allowed to have these kind of things going on, and they want your child, right? Because they want to, in some of the blue cities, they can take that child and talk them into being an influence in their lives. Talk them, well, you're a girl instead of a man, or you're a boy instead of a girl, and they influence them, and they can even begin this therapy on them, this hormonal change and everything by shots, and without the parents' permission. This is the world we live in. So, is God judging America for killing babies and promoting what God calls an abomination and perversion of God's design for a man and a woman? You bet he is, right? This is what a nation reaps when they turn their back on God. And we're going to get a reprieve for about 4 years, hopefully another 12 years if Vance gets in there. But I'm telling you, this is humanity, a part that rejects God's revelation. It's not a pretty picture, amen? It's not a pretty picture at all. But we are not cowards. We don't back down. We don't stay silent. We speak what God says, right? It's going to get you in trouble. It got me in trouble with my brother. But that's his fault. And it's going to get you in trouble with anybody. I was talking to a guy at Whataburger. Whataburger is my ministry headquarters from 6:30 to 8. And I was talking to a guy there. He goes to a Baptist church. And other people get on this subject, he says, well, there's a lot of Christians in our church, sin of gossip, but we don't want to say nothing about that. Listen, what I'm talking tonight is one of the sins that God calls an abomination, right? And I'm telling you, by the way, just to make him feel good, you ought not gossip, right? So, backbiting and gossip. And a lot of that goes on in the church, I know that, because it gets back to me. But I'm telling you, what we're talking about is an abomination. It brings the judgment of God in a more intense way, okay? So you got the verses. You got them written down in the leaf of your Bible. And I felt led to go back to Romans 1, 18 through 32, because I want you to be reminded why it's happening, why we see it happening like it's happening, okay? And if anybody's in a church that doesn't preach this, they need to be thrown out of the church. But the people that listen to that, not preaching that, they want something like that because they don't want to hear that, because they don't like a God of wrath, right? And we need to be reminded about that. Father, tonight, thank you again for the opportunity. I pray that I have felt the freedom to preach this. And I don't feel Satan coming against me or hindering me in any way. I have freely shared what your word says, and I pray that now we've been equipped and we've been taught and we can go out and share the same thing. And we look forward to being here on Wednesday night as we continue with the cults, as we look at the second part of the cult of Mormonism and the Church of Latter-day Saints. And so appreciate those that come for that as well. I pray for our sound man as he comes, for Samuel, that you'll give him wisdom. He'll be able to correct these things. And if we need to go to another live stream platform like YouTube or whatever, I pray that we'll be able to just get it where we can and get it out. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen.